John and Maggie. John and Maggie knew each other for several years before they became a couple. They lived together with others with a learning disability in the south of England. John said, "At first we were friends and then we became boyfriend and girlfriend. And then after that, we got engaged and she became my fiance. And then after that, we got married, a good few years after that." At the place where they lived, John and Maggie did not have their own space. This made it difficult for them to have a relationship and get married. John and Maggie felt that staff and the manager of the place they lived in were not supportive of their relationship at first. John and Maggie saved money to pay for a wedding, but the manager did not allow John and Maggie to use their money for the wedding. They told John and Maggie that they would need to find a place in a supported living service first, where they could have their own rooms. John talked to his social worker, who helped them to move. They finally had their wedding in 1999, 10 years after they first met. John said, "They said you can't really get married first, so you have to wait until you get a supported house. So we had to wait until we got the new place. And that place really helped us to get married and settle down. I think they do keep people with learning disabilities back a bit. We were planning for a long time. So it was a bit of a letdown first. It was lucky that we got married in the end." John and Maggie celebrated their wedding with friends and family. He said it was a really good wedding day. We enjoyed ourselves. And my mum was alive then. My dad was already gone, but my mum enjoyed it. My family was there, all my friends were there, and it was a lovely day. It was on a Saturday, really nice. Maggie wore a wedding dress and John wore a suit, or all suited up, as he said. They went to Brighton for their honeymoon. John said we had champagne and we enjoyed ourselves. They continued to live at the new house, where they had their own room and a little lounge, like a box room. Other people with a learning disability lived in the house as well, and people shared their kitchen. John said, "Had some friends there. They took to me. We had a good laugh. You get ups and downs when you're sharing. I'm happier now because I've got my own flat, but in them days we had to share a lot. Even though we had lovely friends, it was all share everything." John and Maggie worked and went to college during the week. They enjoyed going out together and doing shopping. John said, "I used to do different jobs and I used to go to college those days as well. I used to work. I've always worked. I've always liked working." They looked after their place and they shared cooking and cleaning tasks. John said, "She helped me and we helped each other." Around 7 or 8 years into their marriage, Maggie started to act differently. She was more agitated and she seemed more stressed. Someone came to speak to John and told him that his wife had dementia. John said there was a lady, she used to come. I think she was a social worker or something like that. "At first, I didn't take it in at first. I was a bit dumbstruck. I said, no, she can't have dementia. I didn't know what it was at that time, because a lot of people say Alzheimer's, a lot of people say dementia. And it used to be very confusing for me. It was very hard to take it all in. Lots of staff tried to tell me, but it's very hard to listen to if it's your loved one. I actually thought she was going to get better because I didn't know. Because like a lot of things, you get better with. I know sometimes cancers and things like that can be difficult, but people do get over them. I thought she'll get better. And they kept saying to me, no, she won't get better. Because she's ill and things like that. I'd get all uptight and didn't want them to say that." Maggie started to need more help because she could get confused and forget things, which was frustrating for her and sometimes made her angry. John started to help Maggie more. When she got up at night and started wandering around the room, he would help her get back to bed. He said, "I used to say to her, it's not morning yet. Go back to bed," and she used to be all right then. I used to talk to her, give her a cuddle, and she used to calm down. John and Maggie continued to enjoy spending time together and to look after each other. It was difficult for John to see Maggie being unwell, and difficult for Maggie to feel confused. John said, "We used to have a nice time together, even those times. She used to hold my hand. I used to hold her hand and we used to cuddle and kiss. And she'd go, 'Sorry.' I'd say, 'Oh, don't worry about it. It's all right. It's not your fault.' And then we'd have a cuddle and then we'd be all right together." John and Maggie did not talk about dementia, but he found it helpful to speak to staff and his mother. He said they used to say, "Don't worry, we'll help you." There was a good manager there at the time. She really helped me. I'd go and see my mum. My mum used to talk to me and help me. And then my mum passed away as well, so it was quite difficult for me. It was hard for John when people said Maggie would not get better. He said, "I couldn't really accept it. I didn't really understand nothing about it. And it was confusing for me as well. It used to make me cry, upsetting." John started to see a counsellor, which helped him. He said she'd talk to you about your problems and she'd do breathing exercises with you. The breathing exercises, you have to make sure you think you're on a beach or something like that, thinking about nice thoughts. Yeah, it's quite good. All them things did help me. Staff also made sure that John could spend some time on his own to do things he enjoyed. He said, "I used to go out sometimes for breathing space for myself and to try and get away a bit from it." Towards the end of Maggie's life, staff would visit John and Maggie in their flat more often. They made sure that Maggie and John were all right. They helped Maggie to dress and wash. Maggie started to use a wheelchair and staff used a hoist to help her get in and out of bed. John also helped Maggie and cared for her. He said, "I'd put her clothes on for her, help her, put her trousers on, her tops, her coat. And then I used to feed her sometimes as well. I wasn't only her husband, I was her carer as well." John and Maggie lived together until Maggie died. He said, "I even stopped them from putting her in a home. I said, 'No, it's all right, I'll look after her.' They said, 'You don't have to do it all yourself. We're here to support you.' I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't have been able to cope on my own. So I'm pleased the staff was there to help me. It was strange. Even when I had a break and I was out with the fellas, I couldn't wait to get back to her. I used to miss her because I'd miss all the good times together." John doesn't like to talk about Maggie's death. He was very sad and needed time to come to terms with the fact that she had gone. He's now in a new relationship and lives in a new flat. During the week he goes to college and he works at the co-op. He said, "Me and my girlfriend, we're happy, we get on really well. I've got my own flat here now and we're happy. I've settled down again. It took me a long time to build up again though." The advice he would like to give other couples in a similar situation is not to be afraid to ask for help, and for others to ask couples how they're feeling. John says people shouldn't be afraid to ask for help. And I think people talking to you more and asking, "Are you all right? How are you coping?" helps. Because I think talking's very good. And the staff always said to me, "If you've got any problems, you can always talk. Because talking is the best. Talking and support."